You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Happy Easter, everybody. Let's get that put out there first and foremost tonight. Welcome to the Political Cesspool. It is Saturday evening, April the 4th, Easter Eve, if you will. And we're very excited about that and what it means for us and for everyone here in the West. I'm your host, James Edwards. We're coming to you live tonight from Memphis, Tennessee. And I just want to tell you, what a great week it's been for yours truly. And it started last Sunday after church. We went, and I even put a picture up of my daughter on the website at the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Had a great time there at the Orpheum Theater listening to some of that great orchestra music. And then, of course, you know, getting into Easter weekend, and then we went to the Memphis Botanical Gardens and took some Easter pictures that I'm very proud of my son and daughter. But it's not just what's been so great in the family life, on the family front. Well, I guess it is my other family as well here on the radio. Y'all rang the bell, folks, and as I wrote on the site, the audience rallied in the last 10 days in response to our first quarter fundraising drive in an almost unprecedented manner. Never before, at least do I recall, the audience answering the bell with such zeal. And that's really saying something. I mean, you find people never cease to amaze me, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I want to thank everyone who played a role in making our first quarter fundraising drive for 2015 successful. We did reach the finish line with very little time to spare by the skin of our teeth, but people banded together and did it. There were some people who donated two and three times last month to help get us there, and we are going to be on stable ground for the next couple of months, and then we'll do it all over again, and we're going to have fun when that time happens too. But I just want to read a little bit of the mail, because we didn't do this last week, but these letters, your prayers, your considerations, they mean so much, ladies and gentlemen. This one I'm reading as I hold in my hand here in the studio tonight. Dear James, this is just a small token of my appreciation. Thank you for all the work you do. Best wishes. That comes from Russ in Maine. All the way up in Maine we have listeners, ladies and gentlemen. And how about Philip in Granite City, Illinois, writing, here's a small donation for a great and much-needed program. You're all family at the cesspool. Thanks and God bless. Well, God bless you, Philip, and certainly you know you're our brother as well. And then this guy never misses a quarterly fundraising drive. It's Keith in Greenbelt, Maryland. He always sends in a Hallmark card as well. Yes, sir. He doesn't just send it in on regular notebook paper. He goes and buys a Hallmark card to carry his contribution. And Keith, we never miss it. And we thank you. Always appreciated. Never expected. The Copperhead. Now, not Matt the Copperhead. He doesn't have a trademark on that name. This is the Copperhead up in Easton, Massachusetts, writing, great show. Keep up the good work. And how about this one from I'm not going to say where this guy is coming from because he has a sensitive job, but it was a very meaningful letter to me. So we're not going to tell you what state that this gentleman hails from, but he writes, dear James and Keith, I'd like to thank you both for what I regard as vital life-saving work. I have worked as a correctional officer for many years. Once a year, we take a suicide prevention class. In this class, we learn that white males are always the most likely to commit suicide. I believe that white guilt is causing our people to kill themselves, and I believe that years of liberal programming by the white guilt industrial complex is at fault. This white guilt industrial complex is all of TV networks, plus, of course, Obama, Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, and a gang too numerous to mention. One day when I retire, I would like to start some kind of European-American suicide prevention website or support group. I also enjoy your guests who talk about the various nationalist movements around the world. And listen, sir, thank you for the letter. Thank you for the contribution. Our audience, so perceptive, so thoughtful, so caring, so intelligent. I just can't say enough about you folks. We love you. What more can I say than that? We love you from the bottom of our hearts and with all of our hearts. And I just want to shout out just a handful of cities that we received mail and contributions from just in the last week. Are you ready, folks? Listen to this. How's this for diversity? Ocala, Florida. Mardella Springs, Maryland. Tucson, Arizona. Springfield, Missouri. Saratoga Springs, New York. Chicago, Illinois. Callahan, Florida. Beecher, Illinois, Georgetown, South Carolina, Fayetteville, Tennessee, Tempe, Arizona, Brooklyn, New York, Collinwood, Tennessee. Again, hey, buddy in Collinwood, God bless you. Nobody does it like you. Sharpsville, Pennsylvania, Little Fork, Minnesota, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Ryson, Arkansas. Hey, Ryson, we know who you are. You know who we are. Thank you so much. And Ryson sent in a letter too long to read here, but we love his correspondence as well. Montvale, New Jersey, Alexandria, Virginia, Dumas, Arkansas, Ben Wheeler, Texas, and, of course, all over the Mid-South right here in Memphis, Tennessee especially. They're everywhere, folks. The political cesspool is everywhere and growing every week, every month, every year, thanks to you. And tonight is a very special show as we kick off Confederate History Month. Yes, indeed. Not only is it the weekend of Easter, we are kicking off Confederate History Month as well. So there's a convergence taking place in TPC this evening, which is why we gave Eddie and Keith both the night off. Not only is it an incredibly busy show with three huge guests, but it's also, of course, the evening before a holiday, so we're giving Keith and Eddie a chance to cool their jets. They'll be back with us in full force next week. Before I go any further, though, I want to remind you to join us now. Join us now if you haven't done it already. I shouldn't have to remind you. We've been doing this for a couple of months now, but if you're listening online and you want to participate in the Political Cesspool's online chat and virtual fan party, come on, come on, come on. CFCC.org. For the Council of Conservative Citizens, our partners who host the chat, cfcc.org. And if you can't remember that, just go to our website, and there at the top of the blog roll, you'll find instructions on how to join your fellow listeners in the chat. Maybe a light crowd tonight, with it being the night before Easter, people out doing things with family. I know I was out doing things with family all day today, got into the studio with about 5 minutes to spare, was sweating it on the drive because I got caught in a little bit of traffic. But I'm here, and if you want to join me and some others in the chat room, cfcc.org. So tonight, what do we have coming your way? Well, I mentioned Confederate History Month. If you were part of our 10-year anniversary celebration in Memphis, then you're going to know the guest that we have kicking off Confederate History Month this week. His name is Gene Andrews. He was a former lieutenant in the Marines and a history professor. And he gave a talk on the truth about Nathan Bedford Forrest and Fort Pillow at our 10-year anniversary celebration in Memphis last October. He's going to be on tonight. I can't wait to get Gene back on the Political Cesspool. And in the third hour, I'm going to have my very own pastor, Pastor David Rogers, a man I have known my entire life. And he is going to be with us tonight to share a special Easter message. And we're also going to be talking a little bit of politics, too. But before we get to Gene, and before we get to Pastor, on this Easter Eve, we're going to hear from Jared Taylor. That's right. Hold your breath, everybody. I'm panting like a dog just telling you what we're going to be talking about tonight. We haven't even gotten started yet. Jared Taylor coming up right after this next commercial break, and he's going to tell us about his trip to Russia. He just got back from Russia, where he spoke at the International Conservative Forum. So we're going to get firsthand knowledge of what the street scene is like over in St. Petersburg, Russia, and we're going to do that in about 2 minutes' time. So stay tuned for Jared Taylor, Confederate History Month, special Easter message all coming your way tonight on the Political Cesspool. If you can't tell by the pep in my step tonight and the tone of my voice, I'm very excited about tonight's show. Very meaningful broadcast this evening. Thanks for joining us for the ride. Be with us in the chat room, cfcc.org. I'll be waiting for you there.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool.
Thank you.
To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, you heard the lineup that we have in the first segment. I was trying to break it down. Let's sink our teeth into it right now with the first of three, the opening salvo in this trifecta we have lined up for you this evening, the one and only Jared Taylor, who of course needs no introduction to this audience, but for what it's worth, if you may be tuning in for the first time, let me remind you that Jared is the editor of American Renaissance. He is also the author of Paved with Good Intentions and is the primary contributor to the collection A Race Against Time. His latest book, which we have heartily endorsed here on this radio program, White Identity, Racial Consciousness and the 21st Century. Jared, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure, James.
Well, our pleasure as always, and particularly on the heels of your return back to the United States. Why don't you tell us where you went?
Well, I was in Russia for the first time in my life. I was invited by the Rodina political party to take part in something called the International Russian Conservative Forum. And it was quite an experience. I must say that I was running around like a madman trying to get my visa and my ticket lined up before it actually dawned on me who the other participants in this conservative forum were. And when I finally got a list of the people involved, I had to kind of go look them up on the internet because I'd never heard of these political parties. The National Independence Party of Finland, for example. Or New Force from Italy, or there was one from Bulgaria called Attack. And the ones that I'd heard of were Golden Dawn from Greece and also the NDP from Germany, which, as you know, are regularly referred to as neo-Nazi parties. And the same was true for all of these other little parties that I'd never heard of. It was really quite something of a fringe of the fringe, really. And I had a certain hesitation about going, actually, when I realized who these parties were. But I ended up going, and as I should have anticipated, unlike the routinely thuggish issue that the so-called far right is portrayed as, these people were, practically without exception, very, very thoughtful, articulate people. And there was a total of about 35 speakers, actually. And the
wow.
main purpose of the gathering, well, yeah, we all spoke for 10 minutes. And it was very carefully imposed discipline. But the main theme of this conference was to support Russia. As you know, Russia is being roundly attacked by certainly by the United States and by the European Union for having annexed the Crimea and for what is said to be its machinations in the eastern Ukraine. Well, I really don't take much of a position as to who's right and who's wrong there. But the one thing that does unite all of these parties and groups is their opposition to globalism and their opposition to third world immigration into Russia. I'm sorry, into Europe. And so those were the themes that I really put the accent on. And I think it was well received. But it was a real experience for me to be mixing with these people who are all invariably described as extreme right-wing neo-Nazis. Well, I saw not the slightest little hint of neo-Nazism about them.
You know, and I was going to say, Jared, of course, I guess in a way we should know better in that we are routinely slimed with the slame preposterous allegations, and we know that it's completely inapplicable in our cases. And but however, if I was going over to Europe and didn't know the people there, I would have the same degree of hesitation that you did. But I shouldn't be surprised that when you got there, they were nothing of the sorts. You're telling me that, you know, they certainly didn't match the caricature in your estimation. And not only that, if I what little I know about this from having read it, there was even a degree of I don't know, this is Easter weekend and all, but wasn't there a little sprinkling of the faith involved in this conference, or at least some of the people there were, you know, claimed to be Christians and, you know, opposed to homosexuality and some of these other social issues that Christians even here in this country could relate to? Is that right, or am I out of bounds there?
No, there was a great deal of opposition to homosexual marriage, no question about it. There was only one guy, though, who was openly Christian. I was a little bit surprised by that.
Interesting. Okay, I am as well. Okay, I was duly noted. But nevertheless, the fact that in Russia you can have an open meeting of, they call themselves conservatives, we won't quibble, I still recognize myself as a conservative, maybe a paleo-conservative, or we won't get into semantics, but the genuine article, I guess you could say, compared to what passes for conservatism in this country.
Yeah.
And this was something that they were able to meet at a Holiday Inn, no less. And I know that there were the typical, you know, bomb threat from the, you know, peace, love, and tolerance crowd. But other than that, there was no government opposition or no corporate opposition to it that you saw?
No. And in fact, it's probably the case that Vladimir Putin, if he did not at least approve of it, he certainly did not oppose it. And to me, as I said, the most important unifying point was the idea that Europe should remain European. There was a very serious opposition to American meddling in Europe, as well as the meddling by the European Union. And those were two sentiments that I could join in absolutely thoroughly. But there were also some people who represented volunteer groups of Russians who were going to the eastern Ukraine to fight to keep eastern Ukraine or try to make eastern Ukraine an independent Russian-speaking entity. Again, those are really, you know, I don't take any position on that. That's not, I think it's an absolute tragedy that white people are killing each other for whatever reason in the eastern Ukraine. But in the larger context here, this seemed to be an attempt by the Rodina Party, which is a kind of affiliate. It's friendly to Putin, but it seemed to be an attempt to rally support for Russian policy in Crimea and eastern Ukraine, as well as a slap in the face of any group, whether it's the European Union or it's the United States, that tries to push the European nationalists around and tell them what to do.
Well, that's very interesting, and I appreciate you breaking down what this conference basically was put together to address, very important issues, especially when you take into consideration that just a few days ago, Jared, as I'm sure you know, the United States Congress, or the House of Representatives, I should say, voted 348-48 to openly arm Ukraine militarily in its ta-ta-ta with Russia. You know, and was any of that was that topic at all discussed in this conference?
Oh, the involvement of the United States in Ukraine was a huge topic of discussion, and I must say that I'm afraid some of these people do exaggerate the influence of the United States. A number of people said that the Ukrainian government was simply a just a puppet government of the United States, that it was Wall Street bankers who had roused the Ukrainians into genocidal frenzy against the Russians living in the eastern Ukraine. Now, I don't think Wall Street bankers, now maybe this is some sort of code word, but I don't think Wall Street bankers would know the first thing about how to stir up genocidal frenzy anywhere in the world, much less in eastern Ukraine. But again, to get back to a point that you were making, I should have known from the way that the press describes people like us that the people that were going to be at this conference were not going to be wild bomb-throwing types. They were smart on the ball. I didn't agree with everything they said, but they were perfectly presentable, thoughtful people.
And there should always, in an adult civilized society, always be room for a healthy exchange of ideas. And certainly we are the true practitioners of freedom of speech and expression, not those that claim it for themselves, the people who were calling in bomb threats. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Very interesting that conservatives and nationalists, if you will, can gather together in Russia from all over the world, including the United States, where our guest Jared Taylor, of course, hails from, and discuss these ideas of vital importance without fear of repercussion or reprisal. Here in the so-called land of the free, hotels will arbitrarily violate, and in my opinion, break the law, cancel out for no reason at all their legally binding contracts with an organization if there's the slightest bit of dissent from the Southern Poverty Law Center, for instance. It is absolutely sickening. Freedom of the speech on decline here in the United States, while it is perhaps on the rise in Russia. Is that what we're seeing here, Jared? And what else of your observations of the International Conservative Forum that you participated in St. Petersburg would you like to convey to the audience?
Well, many people made the point of how it would be impossible to have a meeting of that kind in virtually any country in Europe. And it certainly would be not possible in the United States. And so in that sense, for those of us who have a real sense of national identity, Russia is a place where you can have far greater freedom of speech than just about any Western or Western European or American city that I can think of. There's no question about that. Another aspect of my impressions here was, I don't know what your impression of Golden Dawn has been, but ordinarily we get this view of them as practically just a cut above skinheads, or you see these black-shirted guys running around in torchlight parades, and there was a famous video of their leader, Nikolaos Mikhailiolakos, who was got into a pushing match with somebody else in the parliament. You think of these things as thugs, but the two people from Golden Dawn that I met and who spoke were extremely impressive. One guy had a beautiful handlebar mustache. He looked and carried himself like an English nobleman. The other guy spoke great English, which was a rarity at this thing, mind you. I had a hard time finding English speakers. But they were physically impressive men. They spoke thoughtfully. It was absolutely startling. And after all the times I have been described basically as a primitive knuckle-dragger myself in the press, I guess I should not have been surprised when I actually meet these people who are described.
Well, we were talking about that. And, of course, yeah. You know, you, Yale-educated graduate that you are, I mean, you know how they refer to you and to me and all of our friends here. And certainly if it's not applicable with the people we know, why should it be any different with the people we don't know over there? But, of course, they paint a scary picture. But, you know, Jared, of course, we should know better at the same time. And so, you know, I think with Golden Dawn, the reason that they are skewered even to a greater extent than some of our other friends is that they have been successful in actually getting elected. I mean, you're talking about people who have been elected to substantial office there in Greece. And so, you know, with that, the attacks must become even more vehement. But I tell you, you were seeing, and Pat Buchanan's written about this, you know, nationalism is beginning to have a pulse again. And there are tremors all across Europe that we can really, I believe, invest a little bit of hope into. And, it's, you know, conferences like this where you can get together and meet one another and build some bridges and begin to work together on a global scale throughout the West, these are hugely encouraging. And to know that you were there and to be able to have you on tonight to explain to the audience what you saw, not what you heard, what you read about, but what you saw being there in the flesh is a great treat, I think, for the audience.
James, there was something else that really struck me. I mean, after all, I was limited in the number of people with whom I could get acquainted, but I spoke to a fellow from the National Democratic Party, the NDP of Germany. Now, again, this is a party that is constantly being dismissed as neo-Nazi, yet more cavemen and worse. And I was impressed once again by the quality of the men that they had there. And I was asking the fellow, he was obviously a full-time employee of this party. And I asked him, well, how many employees does the party have? He says about 40 or 45. 40 or 45 full-time employees of what is considered this horrible, marginal, dangerous party. You may remember that this was in the news because the German government was trying to ban the party. But it turned out that all the people who were doing the wildest things in the party were all government plants.
Yeah,
the
sure.
judge finally said, forget this. Forget
surprise, this. Surprise.
Yes, everything that they're doing wrong and breaking the law, it's the government egging them on, the government doing it themselves. And so this was a terrible embarrassment for the German government. But they have 400 elective people in elective office, and as I say, 40 or 45 full-time employees of the party. I mean, and again, this is considered absolutely marginal compared to something like the National Front or the Freedom Party of Austria, the Danish People's Party, all of whom have a real sense of nationhood, of peoplehood. I tell you, it's very encouraging the kind of voice white people, European people have in Europe. We are miles and miles and miles behind in terms of actually organizing ourselves to do something about our future.
Well, and listen, and the future may lie in Europe. Who knows? I hope that's not the case. I'm certainly not giving up anything and not going to surrender any ground in America until it's absolutely taken from me. But listen, we're going to continue to fight and fly the flag here on this side of the Atlantic. But we still share in the celebration of the advancements being made by our brothers in Europe. And that is exactly what they are. And I have another important question for you. And I must say, again, this is just an impressive feather, I believe, in the hat of Russia to allow a gathering like this to occur at a Holiday Inn, no less, an American chain, ironically. But I want to ask you this, departing from the conference, if we can.
Yes.
And I think this is an equally important question. Describe for us, Jared, and we only have a couple of minutes remaining, the street scene that you witnessed in St. Petersburg and Moscow versus, say, I don't know, Detroit, Michigan, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Washington, D.C.
James, it has been years, I don't know how many years, since I walked into a subway in rush hour, and it was jam-packed with nothing but white people. Can you imagine that? It's the same in both St. Petersburg and in Moscow. White people, as far as the eye can see, very, very occasionally you'll see someone who might be a Chechen or an Abkhaz or an Uzbekistani or something like that. But it's white people everywhere. I can't tell you how refreshing and delightful and uplifting it is. And when people talk about the pretty girls in Russia, they're not just kidding. They're very feminine. They dress well, and wow, it's a real kick to be an American and show up in a place like that.
And I heard that even the men walked with their shoulders squared, and they weren't morbidly obese, and they had a purpose, I guess.
Well, that's another thing. You see, practically nobody that's fat. Nobody, male, female, occasionally see some old person that's fat, but and they're tall too. Boy, oh boy, I felt like a shrimp walking down the streets of Moscow. No, they're fine looking folks, and as I say, it's just so startling. The only Asians that you see are tour groups. They're obviously not living there. They're following some flag and they're gibbering and jabbering. But boy. Moscow and St. Petersburg, and I'm sure out in the country it's even more so, white as white can be.
And with that, what is significant about it, other than it's racially homogenous? And so obviously, you know, there's the security aspect of it, but I guess you're talking about friendly, polite, decent people.
Yes, they are, but one thing that strikes me about Russia is how few people speak English. And, you know, I got kind of turned around and lost at one point in St. Petersburg. And I must have had to walk up to a half a dozen people before I could find somebody who spoke any English. I would try a little French on them just in case, but, you know, they would grimace at that. And I thought to myself, boy, oh boy, what if I spoke, only Chinese, or what if I, it's a little bit daunting in that respect. They're doing their best to help you, but if they don't speak a word of English, it's a bit of a problem. But the young people increasingly are learning English because that's obviously the language of the outside world. But Moscow and St. Petersburg are very safe places. You'd have no sense at all of being in any kind of danger. And just the aesthetic impact of seeing street after street, block after block, of nothing but white people, I tell you, it just recharges your batteries. It just gives you a sense of the kind of world that we'd love to live in.
And because, again, very simple, there should be nothing controversial about this at all. People obviously want to be around those with whom they have a common denominator, whether it be culture religion language, so on and so forth. And so you, in a way, I guess Jared felt more at home in Moscow than Washington, D.C., talking about capital to capital.
Gosh, a whole lot more people who are like me, no question about that.
Jared, thank you so much for coming on tonight and giving us a firsthand accounting of your time in Russia, what the meeting was all about and what you saw. I'm sure the audience enjoyed it. And we're already getting emails to that effect. And when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and let you go because we got another fellow calling in. But I'm going to be sure to plug American Renaissance 2015 right after this break. Thank you, Jared.
Great. It's always a pleasure to be on your program, Jay. Thank you.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. Going to get to Peter Scoop Stanton immediately, but I just want to remind folks on the heels of Jared Taylor's excellent report tonight that the 2015 American Renaissance Conference is coming up in just 2 weeks, April 17th through the 19th. There at Montgomery Bell State Park, just west of Nashville, Tennessee, the 2015 American Renaissance Conference. For all the information, how to join up, who the speakers will be, and Jared was on, I guess, last month to break it all down for us on the radio, but you can read it for yourself at amren.com. There, again, you can get all the information and sign up and reserve your room tonight. The American Renaissance 2015 Conference, April 17th through the 19th, right here in Tennessee. And on the Ameren website, I have to say this very quickly. I saw this disgusting and preposterous article, I might add. Some leader in the Southern Baptist Convention, which is, of course, the governing body of the Southern Baptist Church, of which I am a member and to which I do belong, said that the Christian flag is incompatible with the Confederate flag. And if the Confederate flag and Christian flag are flown together, then one will set the other on fire, which, of course, and you know what he was getting at. You can't even get mad at that. That is so ludicrous. The Confederate flag is a Christian flag. It's modeled off. I mean, I know this guy's too ignorant to know any better, but it's modeled off of the cross of St. Andrews, who was crucified on an X-shaped cross. He was the patron saint of Scotland. And, of course, many of the people who settled the South were, of course, of Scottish descent. My mother's maiden name was McGregor, for God's sake. Hey, don't tread on me. The Confederate flag and the entire – there was a great Christian revival in the Confederate Army. All of the great Confederate generals were outspokenly Christian. Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, Nathan Bedford Forrest became a Christian after the war. Listen, this guy don't speak for me. And it's sad that the church is falling victim, but don't let an anomaly that has occurred the last, 20, 30, 40 years in the church sully the faith that for over 2,000 years now has been great for the West and great for European mankind, that has brought us together. Without the Christian faith, the tribes of Europe would have not banded together, and we would not be here today. And that's just all there is to it. So, on this Easter Eve, let's not let some of the political correctness that seems to permeate in the upper echelons of the leadership of some of these denominations cloud the message of Jesus Christ. And if it was good enough for Robert E. Lee and Nathan Bedford Forrest, I guarantee you it's good enough for us, and it's certainly good enough for me. I've been a Christian my whole life. My pastor, I tell you, there's a lot of Southern Baptists that don't go along with the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's just crazy how the leaders of all of these different organizations have nothing in common with the rank-and-file membership. But the South, I mean, it's Southern Baptists. They split with the Baptists over these issues. And that's why there is a Southern Baptist church. Well, anyway, again, it's ludicrous. It's preposterous. Don't go along with that. We don't go along with that. He don't speak for me. He don't speak for you. It's Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to tie in, of course, tonight, the celebration of Easter with the celebration of Confederate History Month, because they are so linked, they are so congruent and overlapping. And how Christian of it is it for him to condemn Southerners as a head of the Southern Baptist Convention? I guarantee you, if you were a homosexual or an adulterer or any of these things, that he would be saying, oh, my son, come get redemption. But if you fly a Confederate flag, apparently, anyway. Enough's enough. We celebrate Christ. We celebrate the South. They are linked. They are, to us, one and the same, and not that you can get salvation from being a Southerner, but the South and Christianity go hand in glove, and certainly it did in the Confederate times as well. All right, Peter Scoop Stanton, take it away, buddy.
Well, do I have time? Good grief.
You got it.
You got 3 hours of talk, and I only got a short little window. But
well, take it. Right. Crawl through it.
Okay. All right, how you doing, everybody? All right. Now, last summer, myself and the Copperhead went down to Capitol Hill to talk to our elected representatives. And nobody would speak to us except one individual. And his name is Senator Robert Menendez. Yes, that Senator Menendez. For some reason, this talk show has a great track record in just ruining people's lives. But we weren't responsible for Mr. Menendez. A grand jury in Newark indicted Mr. Menendez on 14 counts of crimes, including conspiracy to commit bribery, wire fraud, making false statements, and he was accused of using his office to improperly benefit a political donor, a man named Salman Melgen, M-E-L-G-E-N, who is a wealthy eye doctor from Florida and not even a constituent of Senator Menendez. Now, what really struck me and everybody else in the media was that some of the things he was accused of, including receiving gifts of flights to Paris, flights on a fancy jet to the Dominican Republic, and staying in a resort in the Dominican Republic, is it seems that everybody on Capitol Hill does the same thing. Now, one thing about Mr. Menendez, who is a two-term Democrat from New Jersey, he was very vocal in terms of criticizing the Obama administration on his policy towards Cuba, on his policy towards Israel, and his now the policy towards Iran in a nuclear deal. I mean, we drove a hard bargain. Iran said, we want nukes. We said, okay, here you go. Meanwhile, the U.S. attorney or the Justice Department decided not to file charges against Lois Lerner concerning perjury while testifying at Capitol Hill. So I think there's another scandal brewing. Now, some important news before I get cut off for the bumper music. Next week, we have a very, very special guest. We were going to have him on tonight, but we triple booked everybody else. Last night, me and Mr. Edwards went toe-to-toe, and since this is Mr. Edwards' show, I said, okay, we'll have him on next week. So he's very gracious to come on next week. So everybody, make sure you set your Blackberries. Make sure you don't have court dates next Saturday. And make sure you have bail money because you don't want to miss this interview next week. So take it away, James.
Well, do we want to give away the secret, or are we going to let them wait in suspense for 6 days?
No, let them wait.
All right. Well, next week, I will tell you that it is going to be an interesting interview and certainly one that should be remembered and one that we're looking forward to, something a little different. But certainly there are areas of our thought process that are very much the same. And I'm looking forward to this. Scoop has gone out and gotten some very good and very renowned guests for the political cesspool over the years. Scoop's been with us for 8 or 9 years now himself, almost since day one. And he did a good job last night. And if it wasn't for the Easter weekend and the beginning of Confederate History Month and Jared Taylor just coming back from Russia, we would have certainly made the time for the guests tonight. We didn't even have time for Eddie and Keith this evening. Scoop, I do want to say this also, Scoop, about what you were talking about earlier. So the one member of – was this a senator? He was a senator, correct?
Right. He was a senator.
The one senator that agreed to meet with Scoop and Matt the Copperhead when they went to Capitol Hill – is now under indictment, so
right.
Go figure.
The only reason why he agreed to talk to us because he was in the hallway, we were in the hallway. And, of course, instead of snapping a picture with my phone, I was checking the status of the choo-choo trains in Metropolitan D.C. So I'll make sure I had enough time to get to work that evening and the car break and make it back to the airport.
Well, somebody must have spotted him rubbing shoulders with you in the Copperhead, and that's why he's in the clink these days, or perhaps
right.
On his way.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have a great track record.
Nevertheless. Well, listen, like I said, all the time in the world, we still got minutes. You got any other content for us?
Oh, of course, sir. It's been
hit me.
A week in crime here in D.C. Monday, two gentlemen dressed as women stole a car from a man in Howard County, Maryland, which is just north of the district, and went the wrong road, and they ended up on Access Road at the National Security Agency. And they were subsequently refused to stop, were shot, and one of them died. Now, I'm surprised the LGBT ABC community didn't call out for a hate crime. And secondly, I found out how many people work for the NSA. 11,000 military, 29,000 civilians work for the NSA, and yet they
wow.
Kidnapped the Boston bomber, but they want to know who I'm texting. Another crime was at the hospital in Fairfax. My father-in-law was suffering from pneumonia, and some piece of garbage made a break for it, and the cops were all over town. Some other Yahoo, who had no idea what was going on, decided to go speed down the Beltway. Meanwhile, Fairfax County and Virginia State Police were looking for something. And boy, this guy got it. Seven cop cars pulled this guy over. They did a pit maneuver and threw him on the ground. And he was originally attempted to be stopped for a traffic violation. So word of the wise, if you see blue lights, red lights, whatever, just pull over because you probably just did a traffic violation. And finally, idiot of the week goes to a Metro employee or a Transit Authority employee who on his Facebook page said that we need to kill the family of police officers. Unfortunately, this man still has his job, but we didn't know for how much longer. Back to you in the studio.
Yeah, imagine that. So you got this. Now, this was an American of the African persuasion there at the Metro. Is that correct, Scoop?
Yes. The people who work for the Transit Authority are majority black. Also, one thing about the Transit Authority, like anywhere else, it is a very well-paying job, especially if you don't have a GED.
A government job. So this guy says he wants to, on his Facebook page, he wants to kill the families of cops. He's still employed. Granted, he's getting in a little bit of trouble, but it's not like he went and announced he's a fan of the political cesspool or anything like that.
No, God forbid.
Hey, Scoop, we love you. Thanks so much for your contribution to tonight's show. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Confederate History Month kicks off right after the break, folks. Stay tuned.